MRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Harrisonburg-based Klein's Dairy Bar is expanding to Richmond. 8 years after nearly shutting down, Sweetbriar College has its first alumna president. And Attorney General Meares wants tougher penalties for fentanyl-related drug dealers. But treatment professionals say that's the wrong approach. This is the WMRA Daily from Monday, December 4th. Klein's Dairy Bar is headed to the Richmond area. The ice cream chain based in Harrisonburg will open a store in Cosby Village Square in Chesterfield next summer. Richmond BizSense reports that there will also be an outdoor patio and a drive-thru. Klein's opened in Harrisonburg in 1943 and has expanded to 6 stores in Virginia. The new location will be its first in Richmond and will serve Klein's custard-style ice cream, Italian ice, and a limited food menu. The board of directors at Sweetbriar College has chosen Mary Pope Hudson to be the college's next president. The liberal arts school near Amherst made the announcement last week. Hudson graduated from Sweetbriar in 1983 and will be the first alumna president. Hudson previously served as senior vice president of fundraising and alumni relations. In 2015, the college had announced that it would close, but alumni launched a successful campaign to save it. Attorney General Jason Meares said he would ask for tougher penalties for fentanyl-related drug dealers, but those who handle the fallout from drug addiction say that's the wrong approach. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
It's like 2 Vietnam Wars every 12 months.
That's A.G. Meares speaking at New Life Outreach Church in Richmond's Southside. He was comparing the over 100,000 annual American deaths from overdoses, mostly fentanyl, to the 15-year failed war the U.S. was involved in. He hopes the legislature will take up a bill from last year which would make selling drugs laced with fentanyl equivalent to a murder charge.
Going after dealers with every tool you have in the toolbox and make sure that our dealers are being held accountable for selling this poison.
Meares made the ask at a training event where people like Divine Covering Ministry pastor and Richmond native Valerie Coley learned to use the overdose reversal drug Narcan and could meet others impacted by drug addiction. But Coley, herself a recovering drug addict with 27 years sober, said harsher punishments for drug dealers wasn't the answer.
Definitely have to make more programs accessible. When someone comes to you and say, look, I want to change, I don't want to get high anymore, we need to right then and there make sure we do an assessment, find them placement, because that's part of the problem.
And public defender Brad Haywood, who founded the criminal justice reform group Justice Forward, agreed with Coley. He said increasing punishments for drug dealers is a relic of the failed war on drugs.
Substance use disorder is a disease. It's not a crime, and so we shouldn't be approaching it like a crime.
Instead, Haywood hopes the legislature would increase support systems like rehab and detox facilities for those convicted of drug crimes. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Criminal justice will be a major topic of discussion when the General Assembly reconvenes in January. One bill would allow people who are incarcerated to make telephone calls and send emails without being charged. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Staying in touch behind bars isn't cheap. The cost of phone calls and emails in Virginia is well above the national average. That's a cost paid by families with loved ones who have been incarcerated. Sean Winetta at the ACLU is hoping lawmakers take action to help those families.
What we know is that 1 in 3 families in Virginia goes into debt simply trying to stay in contact with an incarcerated loved one. We know that 87% of the people that are bearing this burden are women, and it's mostly Black and brown women. So it's not only just a criminal justice issue, it's a gender justice issue and a racial justice issue.
Now, in the last General Assembly session, a bill for free calls and free emails passed the Senate and the House Public Safety Committee. But then the House Appropriations Committee said no to the $11 million price tag. Kim Bobo at the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy says the cost to the Virginia Department of Corrections could be much less.
It could be significantly less if it were built into the contract that VDOC has out right now to try and get tablets. So if you created on those tablets the ability to do no-cost email, no-cost phone calls, no-cost video calls, you could conceivably have the costs come down significantly.
Advocates say they're hopeful they'll get support from Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin, who has the power to amend or veto. I'm Michael Pope.
On Friday, a judge dismissed a legal challenge that attempted to prevent the certification of State Senator Ghazala Hashmi's election. The hearing took place after several hours in Chesterfield Circuit Court, after several Chesterfield residents filed a petition claiming that Hashmi falsified her residency at an apartment in the district she will represent. The ruling issued by retired Judge Jan Brody rejected claims that the Democratic state senator had not met Virginia's residency requirements to be in the General Assembly. Staff at the Library of Virginia continue to sift through millions of records from previous governors. State archivist Greg Crawford says it will likely be several years before the emails of the last three governors are available to the public. Crawford says their administrations each left at least 4 million emails that need to be sorted and redacted for personal information, a far cry from the records of Virginia's first governor.
Patrick Henry was all paper, of course, and it's like four boxes. Then you get into the 20th century, particularly the mid-20th century, governor's records can go 200-300 boxes.
The library is using AI tools to separate emails from the last decade into categories to be processed by staff. Due to a rising number of syphilis cases, the Virginia Department of Health has launched a new online dashboard. Total early syphilis cases in Virginia, which are the most infectious, have increased 14% from 2018 to 2022, according to VDH. This year, reported cases are 21% higher than during the same period in 2022. Congenital syphilis cases, when a birth parent passes the infection on to their child, have also, quote, increased dramatically in the past decade, according to VDH. The data will be updated every Tuesday and can be accessed at vdh.virginia.gov. The Virginia Clean Water Revolving Loan Fund is receiving more than $60 million from the Environmental Protection Agency to boost initiatives across the Commonwealth. A press release from Virginia Senators Mark Warner and Tim Kaine says the loan program offers localities in Virginia funding for some publicly owned waste and stormwater projects, brownfield restoration, and other environmental work. Earlier this year, the initiative received about $4 million through the bipartisan infrastructure law. And finally today, the U.S. Inspector General's Office will investigate the selection process for the new FBI headquarters. A letter from Acting Inspector General Robert Erickson to Virginia Senator Mark Warner details the office's plans to immediately begin evaluating the General Service Administration's selection of the site. The new FBI building will be located in Greenbelt, Maryland. The GSA's decision came after a decade-long battle between Maryland and Virginia to be the home of the new headquarters. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Monday.